Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy V and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody. We roll all the way till the top of the hour at 5 o'clock. As advertised, Pete Mundo from Heartland College Sports and CBS Sports Radio will be our guest at about 5:20. Trent, remember we were having that conversation where we really didn't see how many tickets were still remaining? I've seen a couple of tweets now indicating that there are over 4,000 tickets still left for the Iowa-Penn State game.
And you figure some of those are going to be sold, and you're going to be probably 67,000, 68,000 in the building, something along those range. Highly, highly doubtful this thing is going to be sold out. But, hey, good news for you, Jimmy B. This isn't like the NFL. There won't be a blackout.
Yeah, you're right. Yes, everybody, you can watch it on ABC. You don't have to go anyplace. You can see it in the comforts of your living room, if that's the case. Look, we got an interesting tweet from Brian McCombs. I think you probably saw this as well, and he says he basically tweeted saying that Kinnick is amazing and worth the money and time, but it's very understandable why you could easily sit at home and watch with friends. And then he tweets out this, Trent, and this plays right into what you were talking about. Two tickets, $190 plus tax, gas over $20, babysitter, if not free, like you, where you can send them to mom, minimum $40, beer and food, minimum $40. He says you sit at home on the couch, beer, $20 for a case. That's it.
Yeah, well, and I can't send it to mom. My mom lives almost 3 hours away, Jim.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that'd be a heck of a road trip for Ella to get there.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah, it would be. Okay.
No, I know all about the babysitter issue, and that crops up, and it's
yeah, you do.
It's a big one. I want to know how he gets away with $40 for a babysitter for the whole day. That's what I want to find out. How he's getting away with that one. You know, it's interesting in a way, but the other way is you'll be watching the game. I'll be at the game. I'm excited for it. The fan base is going to be excited for it. And the difference between 68,000 in the door and 70,000 in the
right.
door, it's not that big of a difference. It is, I think, right. more of a big term, long-term, big picture problem to look at than the individuality. And for me, I'm ready just to get on and talk about the game. I think that there is a real opportunity here for Iowa. You know, you mentioned that Pittsburgh game that Penn State played. You talked about that a little bit earlier, Jim. So I went back and I watched that a couple nights ago, Monday night it was. Went back and watched that game. And, you know, going through there, Penn State, Pittsburgh is not a great offensive team. Last year they could score. I'm still baffled how Narduzzi has not built a defense there. It's still a head-scratcher from what he was able to do at Michigan State. But that aside, though they didn't have big chunks of yardage or anything like that, I thought Pitt did a good job at controlling that line of scrimmage, and it gave me at least a little bit more hope that Iowa is going to have an opportunity in this football game to get the run game going. Go back to that game last year. It was such a different offensive team than what we saw last year. In Iowa, they couldn't get the run game going, and when they couldn't get the run game going, they had no shot because they had no semblance of a passing game a year ago. This team is different that way. And this team, with the right environment, maybe it's going to take Nathan Stanley to hit on a couple of those deep plays down the field. I don't think they're going to be able to get away with four or five overthrows like they did against Iowa State. It's probably going to take a couple of big plays like that for them to be able to keep up here. But the opportunity is there. The opportunity is real. And, Jim, after the summer, you asked the question, you know, to all our Hawkeye guests, is this thing going to look different? You do now realize what I was trying to tell you. This passing game looks a lot different than what you saw under Greg Davis.
There's no question in my mind about that. You are absolutely correct. And look, Stanley hasn't hit a real big play yet. He didn't do it against Wyoming, didn't do it against Iowa State,
but
he didn't do it against North Texas.
He did. What? The touchdown throw at the end of the first half to Noah Fant.
Oh, at the end of the first half. Yeah. Yes. You're right. Yes,
that was a big play. He's had big plays.
It was.
They've had plays up the field. You know, the play that they threw to Hawkinson against Iowa State, that was 20 yards down the field. That was just a simple skinny post route from a tight end. That was something that was seemingly never part of the offense under Greg Davis.
Right.
And this is what I was trying to explain to you. No, they're not going five wide. They're not going to spread teams out and do things like that. It's not going to be an up-tempo system, but it's going to look different. And this is what you saw under Ken O'Keefe. Deep crossing routes from receivers, taking shots down the field, something that completely disappeared in the scheme with Greg Davis. And it's good. I think it's going to help this team out so much more because it's going to open up what they can do in the run game. But that goes to the offensive line. That offensive line, with all the shifting pieces that they had, the injury to Ike Becker, Boone Myers hasn't been 100%. We'll see. After last week, seemed like they found a rhythm, especially in that second half. That team, if they can control that line of scrimmage up front with that offensive line, I give them a real shot here. And what would really help if they could have a 16-play drive like they did against North Texas and take eight minutes off and keep that offense from Penn State off the field.
Well, that's the key right there. If Iowa can control the football on offense and keep Penn State's offense off the field, Iowa has a real shot to win this game. That's got to be the key. If Penn State is having their way early in this game and forces Iowa to play from behind, look, we have seen it. They did it against Iowa State, but Penn State's offense is extremely talented and high-powered, and if they get out in front and that confidence really begins to grow, it could get ugly. Do I think that's going to take place? No, Trent. As I told you before, I'm struggling on this game because I really believe that we haven't seen Penn State play anybody yet.
Right.
Iowa played Iowa State in an unbelievable football game. Penn State hasn't had to do that yet. This is going to be their first test. And I thought also Rob Howe made a good point. They haven't played any place but their building. This is their first road trip of the season, and it's going to be a highly, highly hostile environment at Kinnick.
A year ago, they went on the road early in the season. They lost that game to Pittsburgh. They were lucky to even come back and make that a game in the fourth quarter. Their other big game on the road early on was against Michigan, and you remember how ugly that thing was. It was 49-10, Jimmy B, and it wasn't that close. I mean, the Wolverines completely outclassed them. Now, the other team, that they also played Purdue and Rutgers last year on the road. I mean, come on. It was Purdue and Rutgers a year ago. But even the game against Indiana last year on the road, you know, they pulled away, but they needed 24 points in the fourth quarter to pull away in that football game. Indiana was leading that game going into the fourth quarter. This is not, at least they weren't a year ago. I should put it that way. This was not a great team on the road a season ago. We'll see how they handle this environment. You know, Jim, it's completely different. And Bill Bender had an article today talking about night games in Kinnick Stadium, in that environment over at thesportingnews.com. Mm-hmm. It's a national talking point. There is something special. There is something special in Kinnick Stadium, Jimmy B. I've been to every Big Ten stadium outside of the two new ones, Rutgers and Maryland. I've been to over half of the Big 12. I've been to SEC places. I've been a lot of places. You've been a lot of places, though not Kinnick Stadium. Kinnick Stadium at night, it is a special, special place.
I'm with you on that. And we saw what happened just last year with the upset of Michigan. That's why I'm saying, when you asked me yesterday, where are you? I said, I'm 50-50 right now. I haven't moved off of that until we get to Friday. And I'll have to do some more homework on these two teams, and then we'll have to make our call on Friday. Quite frankly, I hope I don't mess up because I've won six in a row now. I'm rolling. Oh, by the way, did you count the Monday night game for me, or did that one just kind of blow by?
No, I gave you credit yesterday, Jim. That was yesterday's program. Where were you?
Oh, no, not credit. Does it count on our sheet? It doesn't count because well, I was looking for an extra one. Come on
get
now.
Out of here, Princeton.
All right. Yes. Anyway, I was trying. So the point that I'm making here is that this has the big game atmosphere. It has national recognition. If Iowa wins this game, they would move into the top 25. If Penn State wins this game, they will stay where they are in the hunt for the Final Four. And this has national implications, and it's only the fourth game of the season for both teams.
You know, it's certainly an interesting spot. And, you know, what does this do for Iowa? if they do pull this upset off, Jim, if they win this football game, look, I'm still on the Penn State side. I haven't moved off of that. I'm not
going
to pick Iowa, at least at this point here on a Wednesday. I haven't been able to move off it. I don't know if they can keep up with the Nittany Lions. But if they do, they certainly check into the top 25. And does it change the perception of the Big Ten West? Does it change the perception of what the West can be with Iowa, Wisconsin battling up there? What does a victory do in your mind for this Hawkeye squad?
It pushes them in, as I stated, it pushes them into national recognition. It puts them, I think the confidence level, if they win that game, would be through the roof, and you would feel really good about the next game at Michigan State. A loss, and you're not going to have that same fuzzy feeling, knowing that, oh, man, our back's up against the wall, and now we have all these difficult games in the Big Ten. Are we going to go right down in the dumper? I just think that a win, no matter if they do it in the last 3 seconds of the game or if they're taking a knee in the last minute of the game in winning formation, as everybody likes to say, I just think that if that victory takes place, are you going to rush the field again? Would you do that again, Trent?
No, I don't think so. Well,
okay, all right.
I don't think I'll be out there. No.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking you.
My seats are right on the field, though, so it might be difficult. In fact, I might be the first one out there if that happens.
but what you said is right. It is special when the game's at night at Kinnick.
Good stuff. Well, Jimmy B, when we come back on the other side, we're going to get into a little bit more on the Big 12 side of things. It's been with Iowa State off this week. Obviously, the attention turns pretty much completely to the Hawkeyes. We'll give the Cyclones some due coming up, though, on the other side. Our friend Pete Mundo from Heartland College Sports will be by. We'll talk about him. Iowa State, Texas next week, a quick preview of that. A look forward to a monster game as well, TCU and Oklahoma State. And a question that's been battling around in my mind here the last couple of days, Jimmy B, I brought it up yesterday on the show. Is the Big 12 the conference best positioned to get two teams in the college football playoff? I think that's the case, and that is well down the road, but just something to ponder as we get going here. Right now, your opportunity to win, Jimmy B. You like money, right?
Yes. I love money, man. You know me.
Well,
I don't spend any, but I love it.
You love it. Well, every single day, Cumulus is giving away $4K a day, and your chance to win is right now from 1700 KBGG. Today, the word is cheer. C-H-E-E-R, cheer. Text cheer right now to 62582. That's 62582. Text cheer with your chance to win $4K a day from 1700 KBGG and Cumulus. One more time, the keyword cheer to 62582. Your chance to win $4K a day from 1700 here on the Big Talker. We're back in a moment.
Hey, it's Bill Ryder. Nice to be talking to the home crowd again in Central Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is right on you, 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steak, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports, great food, and drinks.
Draft House 50, Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com. The prices at some Halloween attractions are scarier than the events themselves. That's why we're bringing you Half Off Haunts. Starting Thursday the 21st at 9 a.m., you'll save 50% at these great places for Halloween fun. Like Howl's Pumpkin Patch, Howell's Pumpkin Patch is loaded with pumpkins and farm fun, including a corn maze, giant bull slide, great pumpkin jumping pad, new this year 8-person International Harvester pedal tractor, and push-pull tractors and more. Another half-off haunt is Scream Acres at Bloomsbury Farm in Atkins. Scream Acres features 4 different attractions: Cell Block Z, the Carnival Chaos, the Slaughterhouse, and Haunted Cornfield. The final half-off haunt is the Pumpkin Ranch in Winterset, home of Iowa's mega corn maze, jump pillows, zip lines, giant tube slide at Toddler Town, and pumpkins. Learn more about these half-off haunts now with the sweet deals at 1700kbgg.com. Then get ready to grab your half-off haunts Thursday morning at 9.
Pushing snow with a Fisher Plows Extreme V plow that you'll find at Schuling Hitch isn't just a job this winter. It's kind of a rush, too. The Extreme V plow can change from V to straight to scoop. It's versatile and efficient. With the exclusive Fisher Trip Edge design and fast hydraulics, you'll get the job done faster. Shop for your new Fisher Plows blade at Schuling Hitch Company. 2 locations off 2nd north of the interstate, Des Moines, and Alexander Avenue in Ames. Or SchulingHitch.com.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no-obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358. 1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Hi folks, Mike from JLM Shooter Supply here, inviting you to visit our full-service gun shop. Whether you are precision rifle shooting, competing in handgun matches, or just out plinking with the family, we have everything you might need. We offer all types of firearms, ammunition, and accessories, as well as all types of gunsmithing services. We've been here since 1988, and we won't be undersold by the big stores, and no one can match our service after the sale. We're on the corner of 70th and Douglas in Urbandale, or we can be reached at 515-331-1577. We're JLM Shooter Supply. See you soon.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Well, Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Food Dudes Delivery offers commercial and residential delivery service along with the option to pre-order. Our delivery rate is always a flat fee, so whether you're ordering $15 for yourself or $300 for a party, it's going to be the same flat fee. We deliver all throughout the metro area, always keeping your food hot and fresh. Food Dudes Delivery has a vast range of food options for you to choose from. So place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. 2 locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Back with you here on a Wednesday, getting ready for a big Saturday of college football. We go from a lot of Big Ten talk earlier in the program, and we jump into the Big 12. Joining us on the Draft House 50 hotline, you see his work at Heartland College Sports on the Big 12. He is Pete Mundo with us. Pete, good afternoon.
Trent's always happy to be with you, guys.
Well, you know, this is certainly here in the state of Iowa. A lot of conversation has been about the Iowa-Penn State game. There was a hope last week that game day might be coming to town for that one. Most people felt if it wasn't going to Iowa City, though, it'd be down in Stillwater for that TCU matchup against the Cowboys. That's not the case either. I'm going to guess the people in Stillwater not real pleased about the decision, much like the people in Iowa City, about game day going to New York City.
Yeah, obviously I used to work in Oklahoma and cover the Big 12, and now I'm in New York City working for several different media outlets, and no one cares. No one's going to care. No one gives a rip. If anything, you're going to have New Yorkers that are going to be more upset that there's something in the way of their walking path through Times Square than they are going to be excited that game day's in town. People are going to look up at Lee Corso. They're going to think he's Mel Brooks. They're not going to know who's who up there on the stage. I mean, it is a joke that game day decided to do this. I could see the game that you mentioned, Iowa-Penn State. I could see Georgia-Mississippi State. You know, I think, obviously, TCU-Oklahoma State's the best game of the weekend. But this is just the latest chance that game day had to screw over the Big 12. Now, I think they're waiting to come to Stillwater for Oklahoma-Oklahoma State in November, which is fine. But ultimately, you got to go where the best games are. And the game day atmosphere is what makes this show what it is. It is. I'm telling you guys, it is going to be a total disaster in Times Square on Saturday morning.
It's going to be, very odd a decision, certainly, that they have putting it there. There's been some rumors, some reasons that possibly they put it there. But especially in a weekend like this, where there's different locales that they could have gone that they haven't been very often. You know, it's 2006 was the last time that they were in Iowa City. Stillwater, not a place they go often. Even Washington's making their way to Colorado. They haven't been to Boulder in a number of years. You could go to Nashville for the first time with Alabama coming to town and undefeated Vanderbilt. There were so many opportunities to do something a little bit different, and to go off the road here, it just is an absolutely head-scratching decision. What a many that seemingly ESPN has had over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I wish I could say this is the biggest problem ESPN has had in the past month. Unfortunately, it's like eighth on the list. But, you know, it is what it is. I wish I could say I was shocked, but I'm not. I know they try to do something different every year, and, you know, whether it's go to an FCS game or something unusual, and I'm fine with that. I think it's great to get out there and interact with a fan base that maybe you won't normally get to chat with or see. But, you know, this is not the case. If you want to come to New York City, I wrote about this on HeartlandCollegeSports.com. Go to a Columbia game. It's a great – I've called games up there. It's a great venue, Robert Kraft Field, named after the Patriots owner. Looking over the Hudson River, you've got the, fall foliage in the background. It's absolutely beautiful in October, November. Do like a Columbia-Harvard game in November or something like that. That would be fine. But doing something in Times Square where literally you're going to have European tourists who don't know what is going on, it's just not going to be fun for anybody, and you let down a lot of really good fan bases that deserve better.
Pete, let me follow up then. This is pretty interesting with what took place this past weekend, where I think a lot of people thought, well, Texas is dead. They saw what Maryland did to them, and Tom Herman isn't any better than Charlie Strong. And then all of a sudden, USC and Texas puts on an unbelievable game, and Texas defense looks like it's been resurrected. Is Texas back, or was it just one of those great rivalry games between those teams that made it seem like it was back, but it's not?
Texas is not back. It's just that I think USC is incredibly overrated. Their win over Stanford looks not all that impressive after Stanford lost to San Diego State. Sam Darnold's, you know, he had some great throws on Saturday night, and they make him look really good. At the same time, you know, this was supposed to be a running game behind Ronald Jones that was supposed to absolutely demolish the Texas run defense. It didn't. And on top of that, Darnold threw two interceptions. He's thrown six interceptions this season through three games, two in every game. I just think this USC team is classic USC, overrated, and nothing more than that. Yes, Texas, Tom Herman gets his guys up for big games. He has a history of doing that back to Houston. And yes, Texas is improving, and kudos and credit to Todd Orlando, their defensive coordinator, for getting that defense on track at least a little bit after giving up 51 points to Maryland in week one. But I'm not going to sit here and say Texas is back, especially after a loss. I mean, the Texas fans that are out there looking for moral victories, you're the Texas Longhorns. There's no such thing as a moral victory when you're the Texas Longhorns. I'm sorry. You should have won the game. Darnold has the great jump pass on the last drive of regulation to tie things up, and then you lose in overtime. Tom Herman decides he's not going to go for two because he already used his two-point conversion play to score the touchdown, so there was nothing else there for him. There was too much that went wrong, combined with the fact that USC is overrated. Texas is not yet back.
Another team maybe people are wondering, are they right up, at least on the right path, is Texas Tech. A year ago, we saw them make their way up to Ames in a 66 demolition happen from the Cyclone side of things. How much better is this Texas Tech team?
They're better. You know, it's all about the defense. The offense is going to score its 35, 45, 55 points a game. But is the defense better? I mean, I thought so last week in the first half. They only gave up 15 points to Arizona State. But then they end up in a 45-45 game in the fourth quarter. So, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's looking at it, and he said this week during his press conference, well, our guys made the stops when they needed to. They made the stops when it mattered. That's great. I mean, that's all well and good, but in the end, you still gave up 45 points again, 30 in the second half. So I haven't seen enough. You know, they're two games in. They had a bye week in week two. I didn't catch the Eastern Washington game just because I didn't have it. So I haven't seen enough of this team to know if they're actually significantly better or not on that side of the ball. But I think this week against Houston on Saturday is going to be a good test. You know, the Houston offense hasn't been great so far, but they got a former five-star quarterback in Kyle Allen, a couple of good wide receivers. So we'll learn, I think, a lot more about this Texas Tech team on Saturday afternoon.
Pete Mundo's our guest. He's on the Draft House 50 Hotline, Mills Civic Parkway, West Des Moines. Okay, here we go. Number 16, TCU. Number 6, Oklahoma State at Boone Pickens Stadium. There are still some tickets available. I'm shocked at that, but how good a game is this?
This is could go down as, I think, one of the best games, not just in the Big 12 this season, but in college football. I think you have fascinating matchups between this TCU running game, which is a three-headed monster, and Oklahoma State's ridiculously high-octane passing game. If I'm Oklahoma State, I'm forcing Kenny Hill to beat me, which means I'm putting 7-8 in the box and saying, have Kenny Hill beat me in one-on-one coverage on the outside. That's my game plan if I'm Oklahoma State. On top of that, Kenny Hill's going to have to, you know, they can't rely on the running game because you know Oklahoma State's going to score points. So I think it's a fascinating matchup on both sides of the ball. TCU's defense does look like it's back to what Gary Patterson wants it to be. So I am fascinated by this game on so many different angles of it. And I really think it's going to be I hope and I believe it's going to be a really good game in Stillwater this weekend.
You know, there was hope that this would be more than a race just between the Oklahoma schools. TCU was one of the teams talked about this summer. Another team that was mentioned a lot was Kansas State. The Wildcats go to Vanderbilt, lose 14-7. Jesse Ertz just looked awful in that football game. What's going on with the Wildcats?
Yeah, the offense is not up to par. It was kind of a weird game. I didn't think they used their running game enough. Justin Stillman, Alex Barnes only got a handful of carries each. It was a defensive. Basically, Vanderbilt played Kansas State football better than Kansas State because that's what both those teams do. Very similar, strong defenses, big on the D-line. And, yes, Kansas State looks like it got hosed on that review by the SEC officials on the Kendall Adams touchdown that was wiped off the board, which when you lose by a touchdown, it stings that much more. But that's not ultimately why Kansas State lost this game. They had more penalties than Vanderbilt and more turnovers than Vanderbilt, and the Commodores beat the Wildcats at what the Wildcats do. That's what this game came down to. And if they play like that the rest of the season, this is a Kansas State team that'll find itself not competing for the top of the Big 12, but somewhere in that 5-6-7 range.
When you take a look at the Big 12 overall, Baker Mayfield has been the show so far for Oklahoma. Can he continue that style of play, or will he finally get slowed down someplace along the line?
Well, Ohio State certainly couldn't do it, at least not in the second half. And I don't know who's going to do it in the Big 12. I just can't find that team. I don't know if it's TCU can try to do it. I don't think Oklahoma State can do it. That's going to be a shootout. I can't find the team that's going to go out there and literally stop or significantly slow down Baker Mayfield right now. I don't see that team out there, Jimmy. So until proven otherwise, it's been over 700 days since Oklahoma's lost a Big 12 game. this is their conference until somebody beats them.
Good talking with you again, Pete. Next week, another big one, as it'll be Iowa State back in action after their bye week. Texas the same. The Longhorns get to come into Jack Trice Stadium. Give us a quick preview looking ahead to next Thursday, what you expect to see with the Cyclones and Longhorns.
My guess is that at least if you like to put a wager on a game, I think Texas will be obviously favored and be favored by too many points because people are going to be thinking back to that USC game and wondering if Texas is back. So there's my 2 cents on that front. As for the game itself, Iowa State looked good in their bounce back win over Akron after that heartbreaking loss against Iowa. But I still have questions about that defense. So, you know, Iowa State's going to put up points. I think they can really put up points on this Texas defense. I think it's going to be a shootout type of game. And if I'm Texas, I'm running the ball a lot more. Chris Warren only ran the ball 4 times against USC. And, you know, if they want to win games, they got to utilize him. He's a good veteran running back. You've got young quarterbacks there. Use the running game. So if I'm Texas, I'm playing the run. If I'm Iowa State, I am challenging this Texas secondary with Jacob Park's arm and Alan Lazard and Hakeem Butler and all these guys on the outside.
It's always good, Pete, when you take time with us. We always appreciate it. You have a great day and have a great weekend, Pete.
Jimmy, Trent, anytime, guys.
Thanks, Pete.
That's Pete Mundo. Yep, CBS Sports and also Heartland College Sports. Always good when he comes on the show, Trent.
Yes, yeah, ready to talk about the Big 12. A look ahead. How big of a chance he give Iowa State against Texas next week?
I still think Iowa State's got a shot here. I don't think Texas is going to go in and blow their doors off. I just don't see that happening. I didn't think Texas offense was that good, and I saw their defense, but what Pete says is that maybe USC is not as good as what people had thought. I do know this, and he's right. Iowa State can throw it, and they can run it. So it'll be an interesting shootout. I'm glad that game is not till next Thursday, so I can sit on that one, Trent, for a little bit.
It is going to be good. Well, Jimmy B, we'll take a timeout. Come back on the other side here. When we come back, well, it'll be more talk about everything going on. We'll map out what's happening in case you missed it and take a look at that of what we have coming up here in the world of sports. Jimmy B and TC presented in part by our friends at Bravo Sports Marketing. You're in the market for some tickets. You want tickets to Iowa, Penn State? Go online. BravoSportsMarketing.com. We're back here in a moment.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Trust, quality, value. Just some of the words that have been used by Wolf Construction Roofing customers to describe their experience. Wolf Construction Roofing works on residential and commercial roofing, including single family and multifamily homes, tear-offs, specialty roofing, and gutters. Wolf Construction has grown into a roofing machine that installs and re-roofs nearly 2 million square feet of roofing each year. Wolf Construction has been given the Super Service Award from Angie's List and is accredited with the Better Business Bureau. Call them today for your free estimate. Wolf Construction Roofing, 515-216-3643. That's 515-216-3643. And online, wolfconstruction.net.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-through options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines Metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Sponsored by NBC. Tonight, Ted Danson and Kristen Bell return in the hilarious premiere of The Good Place, the show critics called the best comedy on TV. Don't miss the premiere of The Good Place tonight on NBC.
Chicago Dog. They do it right. They're from Chicago. Sandwiches are made fresh when ordered. Chicago Dog is located in Urbandale at 70th and Douglas. And another location is opening soon. There will be two great locations, same great Chicago Dog flavors, like the original Chicago Beef Dog, all beef, mustard, relish, onion, tomato, sport peppers, pickle spear, and celery salt on a poppy seed bun. Try the Chicago Dog original Chicago Italian Beef, a sliced Italian roast beef sandwich dipped in au jus with a side of jardiniera. How about Chicago Dog's The Porker? Your choice of spicy or mild Italian sausage link topped with grinder meat, melted cheese, and a choice of pepper. Chicago Dog delivers too. 70th and Douglas in Urbandale and another location coming soon on Facebook, DSM Chicago Dog. Chicago Dog is this week's sweet deal. Get $50 worth of Chicago Dog gift certificates for only $25. There's a limited number and they're sure to go fast. So get yours Friday morning at 9 at 1700 KBGG.com. Napa Know
How. When you purchase a set of Napa brake pads and rotors, you get a discount code from Fanatics.com worth up to $50 towards your favorite sports gear. While Napa can't help your team reach the promised land, we can help make sure your car will, because these brakes come with something no sports team does: guaranteed performance. Great brakes, great price, great fan gear. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. Offer expires September 30th, 2017.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too.
Like when someone's been a good dog.
We've got lots of new stuff for your fur baby, like Blue Buffalo dog food, plus bark toys and treats from the makers of BarkBox. Muddy paws happen. Grab natural laundry care this week for 15% off. Plus, we've lowered the prices on thousands of items. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Final segment, and then we're going to get out of here for the weekend. And wow, what a good weekend it's going to be. Plenty of college football to take a gander at. Also, the Chicago Cubs-St. Louis Cardinals series. And the big fight. Canelo Alvarez against Triple G.
What?
Before we get, yeah, man, this is a huge fight.
I have heard
huge
it is.
Fight.
Yeah, I've heard it's a huge fight. Yes. Jimmy B. So
yes,
since it's a huge fight, the floor is yours. What are we gonna see?
You're gonna see two guys stand in the center of the ring and just throw haymakers.
Ooh.
That's exactly what you're gonna get. Yep, exactly. Both of them are knockout artists, and look. Golovkin has not been down, hasn't lost in like 423 fights. No, well, not that many, but he's undefeated. And Alvarez, we know, lost to Mayweather a few years back. So this has got the makings of a monster fight, and against two really, really good boxers, Trent. This is going to be a lot of fun Saturday night.
All right, so you got that going on. I'll be watching football. Maybe I'll find an illegal stream or something, you know, to pull that.
Now, that wouldn't shock me at all.
Find something that way. I'm not going to pay. I'm actually not even going to be around. I'm going back home to Osage this weekend, leaving tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll be
they don't
out.
Even know what pay-per-view is in Osage.
Oh, that's not true. We used to get pay-per-views all the time. That's not true at all. I just, no, going to be with the family, get together, the Condon crew, and... Yeah, we'll probably have a few too many, and we'll see. Maybe the fight will come up. You never know. That seems to
never
happen
know.
From time to
yep.
time. All of a sudden,
it does.
Hey, let's get the fight.
Hey, fight's on.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see how that plays out. But no, I'm more interested in the football this weekend, Jimmy B. All right, let's give our final look at Iowa State and Iowa. Final looks, of course, throughout the show today. We've had people calling in making their predictions for a DraftHouse 50 gift certificate. We'll make our picks. But let's start with Iowa State. 11 o'clock kickoff at Akron, a average MAC team. letdown, look ahead, bye week upcoming, and then the short week with the Texas game. Just an interesting spot for Iowa State.
I don't see it as a letdown. I really don't. I think they're going to come out, meaning the Cyclones, and be into this game. I think the sour taste of losing to Iowa and the way that it happened when they had the lead late and couldn't stop the Hawks and then losing it in overtime, I have a feeling Iowa State's just plain old pissed. And I just have a feeling as well, Trent, that it's going to be, and you and I both talked about it following that great Cy-Hawk game, that they look like a Big 12 team. And I think it's going to be looking like a Big 12 team against a middle-of-the-road MAC team. It is not going to go well for the Akron Zips.
You're not buying the Zips here. The number sitting at 10.5 right now, the over-under at 63. I think this game is going to go one of two ways. It's going to be either early on you're going to know, all right, this is going to be a four-quarter football game, or it's going to go like you think it is, and Iowa State's going to run away and hide and really control the football game. I don't see this being just kind of a meander. I don't think it'll be around the point spread. How about that? I don't think Iowa State wins it 30-21. They don't win it 34-24.
Right.
I don't see that happening. It's either going to be Iowa State goes out and wins 42-17, or it's 27-24 going into the last 5 minutes of the football game. Either incredibly tight or a blowout in Iowa State's favor. And I'm struggling which way to go. I am. I've been back and forth on this one all week long. I'm going to believe in the talent of Iowa State, all the Matt Campbell stock that I've bought over the last year.
Yep.
I'm going to continue to cash that one in here. Iowa State gets it done in a big way. They run away from the Zips and win it 42-17. Though, did you see they are honoring Jason Taylor in the game coming up tomorrow morning?
Really?
Yeah, he'll be on hand.
Wow.
They got special patches that they're wearing on their jerseys, also stickers for their helmets as they, I don't know, inducted.
He's not playing, though, right?
No. Though he looks like, I saw a picture of him there. Looks like he still could.
He still could, yes. I know. I saw him on Dancing with the Stars, and the guy looked great. That's not going to help Akron. They can have all the Jason Taylor love on the field, but when you kick off, the Big 12, and I'm with you. I think it's a dominating performance, and I'm buying the Kool-Aid as well out of Matt Campbell, and I think that they have turned that corner as far as being a Big 12 team. They looked like a Big 12 team against a Big 10 team in the Cy-Hawk game, so I'm with you. I like Iowa State to cover big.
So we're going to agree on the Iowa State matchup with Akron. Two, Iowa and the Hawkeyes 2:30 kickoff against North Texas. The Mean Green comes to town. I'm going on an opposite direction here. I think Iowa will control this football game. I think they will win it, but the number continues to creep up. I think it's a little bit too high. I see a ho-hum 34-16 type of game. Iowa gets the win. They control the line of scrimmage, all those things. But for people hoping that the whole second half is just going to be second and third teamers and young kids you want to get a glimpse at, I don't think it's going to be quite that easy in this one. Iowa wins but doesn't cover.
Okay. I have the exact same feeling on this game that you have. 22.5, that's a lot. Now, if they were playing a better team, you know, like Pitt or Syracuse or, you know, somebody of that ilk, I would think that Iowa would be really excited to play that opponent. I don't think they're going to be excited to play this opponent. And I'm with you. I think that they win the game, but I don't think they're going to cover the 22.5. I've got them winning by about 15.
Winning by 15. So we're in the same range. Look at that. We're agreeing.
Yeah.
On the first two. Well, Jimmy B, you're making sense here. Just kind of following my lead. You know why?
I'm afraid to ask.
Well, over the first 2 weeks of the season when we've done our Draft House 50 pick'em, you are 4-5-1 against the spread. You're under 500 on the year.
I'm close, though.
I am 7-2-1 against the number. 77%, Jim Brinson. I could build my own casino. The Kata Casino would become a reality.
Yes.
If I hit 77% over the course of the year. So you're doing the smart thing. Following your boy TC.
Just bite me, will you?
I'm saying.
I know. It's early, Trent. It's early in the year.
It's early in the year, pal. All right, our final of our college games, the big one of the weekend. Game day will be there. No, they will not be in New York City this weekend. That will be next weekend. It is Clemson-Louisville a year ago. That game was a great one. Louisville, we know. It's Lamar Jackson, not a great offensive line, him out there making plays. Clemson last week, they beat Auburn. They didn't have to do much because you could see in that football game, Auburn was not moving the football against Clemson throughout that one. And it seemed like they kind of reined it in offensively a little bit because of that. They just didn't want to have anybody make a mistake in that kind of spot. This will be different. Jackson will make plays. He'll get out and score. It feels like maybe Clemson should be favored by a little bit more. Remember, Louisville had that struggle against Purdue in week number one. Yet something tells me to hop on the Cardinal. Give me Louisville getting the 3.
Louisville. Yeah, you got to kind of slur it around. Louisville.
Just act like you have marbles in your mouth. That's how you say it.
There you go. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Look, I felt the same way you did about this game, that Louisville with Lamar Jackson and company is going to be entertaining. But after looking at the poor offensive line play, which you referenced of Louisville, Clemson, that is their strong suit.
Boy, are they good up
front. And they are tough, big, fast. I have a feeling that they've been lying in the weeds a little bit waiting for this. So I'm going to take Clemson, and I'll give the 3.5.
You're going on the other side. You're going to take Clemson and lay the 3.5. All right. We got a couple of NFL games, and you know, an odd day. You wake up, the Sam Bradford news, and what's happening with him? MRI on the knee, the latest that I've seen is everything's all right. They're concerned about it, but he is going to play from everything that I've read throughout the afternoon into the evening here, Jimmy B. Of course, he's had the knee reconstruction a couple of different times with ACL tears, but they feel like it's good to go for this one still. You got Minnesota, looked incredibly good through most of that game against the Saints. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, didn't look that good. The number is 6. I'm struggling with this one, Jimmy B. I keep going back and forth. It feels like that number's too big, and usually when that's the case, I like to go the other way and say, well, I'm going to lay it because it just seems too simple. Short week for the Vikings. I guess I'll go that route. I'm going to lay the 6 and take the Steelers.
Okay, I am going to do exactly the same thing. I can't believe the Steelers for 2 straight games can look as bad as they did against the Browns, even though they won. I can't see that. And I like what Minnesota did against the Saints at home, but this game is in Steeltown, makes a big difference. I am also going to lay the 6 and take Pittsburgh.
All right, so we're agreeing again, our third agreement, our final one. It's Sunday Night Football, as it will be the home opener for Atlanta in their new stadium. A year ago, it was all Falcons in the old Georgia Dome as they put a cap on things there in the NFC Championship game. Packers come to town. They're getting a field goal, Jim Brinson.
I'm taking Atlanta, and I'll be giving the 3. And it's one of these things where Atlanta wasn't all that impressive against the Bears in their first game. Brand new stadium, Trent. Monster crowd on hand for this game. I am going to go with the Falcons at home and take Atlanta. I think that they will probably win the game by maybe a touchdown.
Okay, so you go in Atlanta to get it done. Concern still for me. I faded Atlanta in week number 1. I'm going to do it again in week number 2. Give me the Packers getting the field goal and perhaps an outright win along with it. So Jimmy B and myself agree on 3 picks. We're both on Iowa State, North Texas, and the Steelers. Jim's got Clemson. I have Louisville. I have the Packers. He has Atlanta. Our picks, your picks are in the books as well, Jimmy B. What else excites you about the weekend? What else? You mentioned the Cubs-Cardinals. That'll continue. 2 more games left of that one.
Right.
Some interesting hijinks that were happening here throughout the afternoon there. I got high school football tonight, Southeast Pocononkety Centennial. That should be a good one, the final game of non-district play. And then in week number 5, we'll ship over to district play starting next week, but a couple of old rivals getting together. A good weekend. Not a great weekend of the college game, no doubt, but the NFL looks to be pretty salty, and it seems like whenever you don't think there's going to be, you know, a great weekend of college football, something jumps up and grabs you.
Exactly, and I believe that starts tonight, Trent, to be honest with you. While I'm at the draft house enjoying my favorite beverage,
yes,
I will be partaking in watching Illinois and South Florida, and then immediately following is Arizona and UTEP. So, I mean, they're not games that make you want to run outside and, you know, scream obscenities in the parking lot or get naked.
Why would a football game ever do that to you?
But I will watch with a little bit of interest. I do want to see Charlie Strong's team. I do want to see what Illinois has got going on now with Lovie Smith and see if indeed they're a better football team. This is a good test. South Florida's rated 22nd in the country. So this will be an interesting game by these two teams. They're both have won their first two games, and so I just find that to be maybe a little interesting matchup that I can enjoy this evening.
So that one's getting you'll be going a little bit.
Yeah, you'll be working, man. You'll be in the booth. Are you calling it in the booth, or are you going to sit out with your peeps in the crowd?
No, I'll be in the booth. I have to have things plugged in, Jimmy B. You know, I have to have I have to have an outlet. I would love to be around the people, though. If you're out there, if you're at Southeast Polk, come on up and say hello to me tonight. I would love to see everybody. Come say hello to me. You know what else tonight? I'll of course be keeping an eye on my Twins as they try to extend that lead against the Blue Jays. And you know what tonight is at Target Field, Jimmy B?
What is it?
It is Big Sexy Night. They're giving away Big Sexy T-shirts to, I don't know, the first couple thousand people in the door. And Big Fat Bartolo Colon will be taking the mound. So that should be fun. I'll be keeping an eye on that one. And you got to flip on the Indians, right? You got to have a cursory glance. The comeback victory last night against Kansas City. You got to do that. It's history in the making. So that's another piece out there. Good baseball weekend, good football weekend. Hey, this is September. It's a good time to be a sports fan.
Absolutely. It's a good time to be us. That's why we love what we do. Don't you?
Oh, I do. I do, Jim.
Okay. I was just checking that. I wanted to make sure that you did. That's all. You don't have to like me. You just have to like what you do.
I hear you. I'm over here coughing. You know, it's been a struggle this week.
You're gagging on. I know you've been sick. I know. All right, let's get out of here then.
Okay.
You got to get going. You got to go.
I got to make my way over to Runnels and get ready. Southeast Polk and Ankeny Centennial tonight. It's our Central Iowa game of the week. We'll take the airwaves at 7 o'clock with the pregame show presented by the Norwalk Shop. 7:30 kickoff tonight with the Rams and the Jaguars. Finish it up, Jimmy B. Have a good weekend.
All right, pal. Listen, it's been a great week, and it'll even be better next week. And Trent and I will cover everything for you during your drive home from 4 until 6, right here on the Big Talker 1700.